speaking of interviews, somebody that I know who has reached out to you and been on your show and also was on your former station just on Friday announcing, or the DA announcing, that he's going to be stepping down in the next month from the position of Tuan MA to sort of focus on his Gauteng Premier candidacy, Solly Msimanga. What kind of implications do you think that that is going to have?
So this is interesting. I mean, he says that he's resigning as Tuan MA to concentrate on that campaign. And I mean, the immediate response from Julius Malema, who else is... Well, Cyril Ramaphosa is able to run the country and complain. The DA's Premier candidate is David Makura. He's able to be Premier and campaign. I do understand it slightly in that Solly Msimanga is a mayor and that's a particular local dynamic. But there are other issues there. You know, there's been scandal after scandal around him involving people he's appointed. And, I mean, the DA might not like that word, but, I mean, I think that's how it has to be seen, as scandal after scandal. And then, to add to the confusion, it's by no means certain the EFF would vote for his successor in Tshwane. Julius Malema was talking yesterday. We can talk about him in a sec if you like. But he was, you know, he is saying that our support for the DA's candidate in Tshwane is not certain. But we don't like the ANC because they're the most corrupt ANC. Mm. Everyone knows this. I mean, the way Malema talks sometimes. So what you have is the potential for further trouble in Tshwane. And it sort of suggests that actually there could be big implications for what happens in the city of Tshwane as a result of this. What exactly is going to happen is much harder to predict. And which way Malema will go is also quite hard to predict at this stage. I got the sense he was holding out for the best offer.
Well, we had the press conference, EFF press conference yesterday, and a lot was said. And I read in your article in Daily Maverick as well, where you'd sort of said, I mean, this is a make or break election for the EFF. It matters a lot to them. And I wondered, based on that, I mean, do you think they're going to make or break, and what do they need to get in order for that to either happen or not happen?
So there's several things I think the EFF needs to do before we get to figures, and everyone wants a figure because it's easy to see if they got the figure or not. I think Julius Malema gets a lot of free airtime from media, and sometimes quite uncritically, although you can't blame the media for that. We can have that conversation if you like, but what he needs to show is that he's got momentum. He needs to show that he's making progress. He needs to show that, you know, the EFF claim on their profile page that we're the government in waiting of South Africa is true. If he goes backwards, or if he does not show significant progress, you know, we can argue about that word significant. So if we look at 2014, you know, he got 6.35%, which shows that he had support of about 7% of the population, or was rejected by 93% of the population, depending on how you want to look at it. That's slightly cruel, but I think it's worth saying. So he's got to show that actually you need to deal with Malema because he's going to have more power in the future, right? If he does not increase, and I think significantly, I mean, probably get to 15%, people in the media can start to ignore him, and that's a big problem for him. Of course, it also depends on what happens to the DA. If the DA gets to 15 and he gets to 15, that's a victory for Malema. If the DA stays on 22 and he gets 14, that's a loss. He's got to show that he's got momentum so that he continues to have this ability to attract attention.
And based on some of his speech yesterday that he, you know, during the press conference that he made, and some of what the DA said as well, do you think that both those opposition parties miss Zuma?
Yes. In fact, I've asked a DA person, you miss Jacob Zuma, don't you? And the answer was, yeah. So yes, I think there can be no doubt that they miss Zuma. You see, the thing about Zuma for their constituencies is that he was easy to portray as the sort of cartoon figure of corruption. You know, I mean, it's a bit more complex than that, but they could portray him like that, and they could increase their constituencies by doing that. Zuma was incredibly divisive in many ways, particularly across what we call social cohesion lines. So you started to see that a lot of minority voters, white and Indian people in particular, moved away from the ANC during the time he was there. He shored up support among Zulu-speaking people in KwaZulu-Natal at the same time, so you didn't see it in the overall figures. Now that he's gone, and Cyril Ramaphosa, a figure. I mean, Ramaphosa talks about healing the nation, unity all the time. He never really talks against a minority group at all. That makes it much harder because he appeals to those groups, and that makes it much harder for the DA and the EFF now to try and expand their constituencies. At the same time, you've got the obvious thing where you had what I would call previous ANC voters, so people who had voted for the ANC. I mean, there's another word you could use. You could say natural ANC voters, so people who would instinctively vote for the ANC because of what it's done for them and their lives and their families and what it did in the past. And the ANC lost large numbers, and I'm talking specifically about urban black voters in Gauteng, and they lost them because of Zuma. You know, in 2009, 7% of the country voted for Cope. I mean, who knew?
Right.
And, you know, that was a million people, and they voted for Cope. And then those people who voted for Cope Really, it was a reaction to Zuma and Mbeki, right? So they voted for the ANC during Mbeki. So now those voters are in play again. And that's the problem. Now, some of them might have made a journey through COPE to the DA. Probably not a lot. Some would have made a journey from COPE to somewhere else. A lot would have made a journey from COPE to not voting, I would say. I mean, there's no polling data on this, right? And so the question is, what happens to that million, that 7%, who are now older, you know, they might have children, some of their children might be heading towards voting age. So your question then is, where do they go? Now, Ramaphosa is going